Hello, I'm Matthew Stepanek, the editor of Glass Buffalo Magazine, and I'm here interviewing Amelia Nielsen today for the Edmonton Poetry Festival podcast. For those of you who don't know, this year's festival runs April 22nd to the 29th, and our theme this year is Your Voice Here. To follow with that theme, over the next couple of weeks, we'll be releasing podcasts and putting the voice of some of our local featured poets into your ears. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Amelia, her debut book, Serge Narrows, with Leaf Press 2013, was a finalist for the League of Canadian Poets' Gerald Lampert Memorial Award. Body Work, her second collection of poetry, will be published by Signature Editions in spring 2018. She holds a PhD in gender, race, sexuality, and social justice from the University of British Columbia. And currently, she is a visiting scholar at the Canadian Literature Centre at the University of Alberta. Welcome, Amelia.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Really good. I'm happy to do, I think, my first podcast. So this is a new experience.
Yeah, and it's only like my second or third time. So we'll kind of figure things out together as we go.
Exactly.
Yeah, as long as we keep talking, I'm assuming that's the essential part of a podcast.
Absolutely.
So why don't we start with talking about how you started with poetry? When did you start writing and what sort of influences did you see at the beginning?
Yeah, it's interesting, that question, in that I took a writing class, like many people, and thought, oh yes, I'm going to love writing fiction and plays, and then I discovered poetry, and that is what really clicked. And so I had the really good fortune of growing up in Victoria, BC, and the school I was going to is University of Victoria, which of course has a pretty renowned writing program. So there I am, it's year 2000, and my first poetry instructor is Patrick Lane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Patrick is amazingly charismatic and passionate, and also really instilled in us from that first class, we had to write. We had to write, we had to practice, we had to do exercises, we had to read widely, and only then might we write up a successful poem. And so I don't know why, but from that first writing class, I was very serious. And you know, various things happened, and some of them are luck, some of them are, yeah, those, that hard work and whatever. But after my second year in a poetry workshop, my instructor encouraged me to send out a batch of poems for publication.
Okay.
And so I sent out, I don't know how many poems, maybe six poems, and one was selected by Grain Magazine. And I really wonder to this day what would have happened if I hadn't had an acceptance that first time.
Was
right,
that
I sent something out.
Yeah, was that the only one from the batch that got accepted?
Yes, but that's great odds.
Yeah.
That's great odds, right? And what it did is it encouraged me so early on to think of myself as a serious writer, and that if I treated the art seriously, the craft of writing seriously, I would find a kind of audience. So I often joke that, you know, I was a serious writer from that first poetry class in 2000. And then, of course, getting that publication with a poem in a journal in 2002 really kind of opened doors and also made me set the bar quite high for myself.
So then did you shift then to a mainly poetry focus?
Yeah, I did. Exactly. And that is basically how I conducted most of my undergrad degree at UVic. We couldn't just specialize in poetry, but I took every course that was on poetry, poetics, forms, advanced forms. And then, of course, I also did fiction workshops. I say, of course, but it seemed like you have to write fiction. Which is interesting now because I actually write poetry and I write nonfiction. So in both instances, I try to draw from, you know, the forms and techniques that are used in fiction. But it is poetry and nonfiction that I continue to write into this day.
Very cool. So what sort of themes and concepts do you like to explore in your work?
Yeah, those have shifted over time. Some say the themes that we begin with are the themes we keep on exploring in our writing. And I've really thought about whether that is true or not for me. And I think to a certain extent, that is true. I know when I began writing, I did not try to tackle any big themes. And there I was in workshop with people writing about love and honor and valor and romance. And I was like, I'm writing about tadpoles and dragonflies and earthworms. And I definitely felt, you know, like a bit of a weirdo. But I was really fascinated by the small and the overlooked, these seemingly insignificant things that I had grown up surrounded by in a very rural, very wild kind of childhood. And I think what, if there was a shift, what I found is that, of course, that way of seeing was more about me as a poet and my fascinations or fixations on things. And so as much as maybe nature poetry or poetry about wilderness can seem like it's about this mm-hmm. wild other, it really is about the human experience, which is what I wrote in Exploring Body Work, which was really, how do I shift that gaze from wild things out there to this uncontrollable body that I'm living in right now. And so it became a more inwardly focused poetics. But I've had people say, there's still a lot of creatures in your poems. There's still a lot of stuff that's out there in the wild world in your poems, even when you are trying to write about something like, what does it feel like to have this illness, like to describe something like that body dysfunction. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to exorcise all the creatures and demons out of our poetry anyways.
So, and why would we want to?
That's the best part of it.
Right.
And since we're on the topic of your poetry, do you want to share a poem or two with our listeners?
Yeah, I'd be happy to read a poem. So this is from Body Work. And here in the poem called Symptomatic, I wanted to start by trying to describe symptoms totally outside of what you'd find in a medical dictionary, right? We can all Google our symptoms, but what if we were to instead think differently about the very symptoms we're experiencing? Symptomatic. Tremors. First morning thought atmospheric. Unpredictable currents external. Jackhammer and roadwork. Caffeine. Thought fault line and quaking. Geologic. Tumult. Thought semi-trailer and traffic, thunder, galvanic, weighted, felt chemical. Onychilosis, of finger, nail loosening from root, of rootless, itinerant, of roving, rambling, trembling from nail bed, of peripatetic, nomadic, of drifting, slipting. Photophobia. Dissimilar to fear, irrational or otherwise, not the pang of public places, but can't. Can't daylight or fluorescent, can't sun, can't light-filled, luminous, can't gleam, can't glimmer, can't flash, can't flume, can't bear to, can't look away.
I always need to pause a little while after someone reads something to just kind of fully take it in, because like there's so much playfulness going on in the poem, and I was like, I was waiting also for a creature or an animal to kind of come up, which is like a terrible way to listen to a poem, but
we set that up in talking about all the creatures, and in Symptomatic there might be a creature later on in the poem. That's just three sections of it.
Okay.
But playful, that's for me probably one of the biggest compliments, because I worked with an amazing editor, Gary Thomas Morse, and he definitely inspired me to be more playful, to push the playful aspect. And I love that kind of contradiction. We were joking downstairs about, oh, you know, a book about illness. And it's not all about illness. It actually starts with a kind of belief in this stable, healthy body, and then things unravel. But I'm definitely not writing from a place of, oh, this is terrible, because I don't see illness or disability as these terrible things. But for me, in the experience of writing this book, there was definitely a shift. And I had to try to see the humor at times, because there's not that much in the moment that's super funny about having your nails loosened and fall off.
No, right? Exactly. Yeah.
Or threatened to. But afterwards, you're like, how amazing and ridiculous is the human body, right? Like, how funny, we have nails and then we get something and they're going to drop off. Oh no, right? So to try to imagine a place or imagine myself having a bit of fun, because I did live through that.
Yeah.
Right? So why not explore it a little aslant rather than maybe directly into the pang of pain of the experience, I guess.
So, does a lot of your poetry kind of follow that memoir line, like your nonfiction, that it's, you know, personal narratives that you're sharing?
Yeah, I think with this book, it would be... One would be hard-pressed to find the kind of narrative through line of this happened and that happened and I know more about me as a poet or my illness experience. Definitely through metaphor, definitely through image, I hope through rhythm and cadence and some playfulness. But where I have written more in a straightforward manner is the memoir I'm writing right now. Which is called Wayfinding. And there I am writing a series of personal essays, or actually now I think it's going to be a slightly different form, but that's where I started. I started with a bunch of essays. I laid the groundwork out. And in recently meeting with my editor, it's going to shift a bit, but I am writing in a more straightforward and kind of clear manner about the illness experience there than I've ever been comfortable to before. I'm not sure why. As I'm writing that book, I'm going, why did I elect to do this?
Yeah.
But sometimes I figure out after I've written something, not only what it's about, but the why of it, right? The real motivation. And often that's sharing with audiences, which is partly why I'm so excited to bring this book, Bodywork, about chronic illness to Edmonton Poetry Fest, because surely I'm not alone, right, in an experience of life-altering illness. And I think many of us seek to transform that experience by writing about it as much as we can.
Yes, because you'll be reading at one of the local book events.
Exactly.
That'll be at CBC Center Stage, so... definitely something that people should go and check out. But on kind of going back a little bit to the topic of the evolution of your writing, can you talk about your first collection, Surge Narrows, and how the writing process kind of shifted between that one and Bodywork?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that book was perhaps written in a more straightforward lyric narrative mode, but not exclusively. I was really interested in how to have clear, resonant images, really precise writing that, in a sense, did the work of bringing readers to the meaning. I've never been one to sort of... I have this saying. I say, I don't like to be told what to feel. And so I can't imagine that anyone else would like to be told what to feel. But I'll be led there by a writer, right? I'll be led to the feeling I come to. With Surge Narrows, I was definitely trying to do that through guzzles and anti-guzzles, through poems about my experience as a fire lookout here in the province of Alberta, through prose poems. There, though, I don't think I was yet willing or able to really push more of the innovation or experimentation that I was becoming increasingly interested in. And I was looking at poets like Sina Cara, who maybe early work was more in that lyric narrative realm, whose work kind of shifted into more of an innovative or experimental realm. And I know these are silly terms, right?
Yeah.
Because rarely do we, you know, say, oh, do this and check the box or whatever.
It's the academic in you.
Perhaps, you know. But it's more that I wanted to see what I could do to push my own comfort zone.
Okay.
So if my comfort zone were at one time this kind of more of a lyric, I-positioned poem, I wanted to try to remove that and see what would happen. What if I really played with what a poem looked like on the page? What would happen if I used, like I do in Bodywork, the footnote? What would happen if I had very little text on a page? So I think the evolution was, yes, maybe the position of the poet, that narrator, that I, but also really how the poems looked on the page. That transformed or changed for me.
So it's that return to kind of like playfulness that you were given
I
before.
Hope so.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I'm sure that people will be able to grab a copy of your book and read it and judge it for themselves, hopefully.
Exactly.
Yeah. And whether or not they like it, at least they bought the book, right?
That's great. And yeah. Also, I go back to, you know, we always get to decide how we feel about a work, right? Yeah. And we have that relationship with the author where we go with them willingly at times, or at other times we're like, I'm not sure where you're going, but... Right. That's what the poet's doing.
And I love that thought of just being led to what you're supposed to feel instead of being told it. So that's wonderful. So if people want to find out when your book's out and more information about you, where should they be going online?
I think maybe my website would be best. I don't do Twitter. And for no reason other than I grew up in the middle of nowhere with a generator and a solar panel. So I've been a little bit of a slow adopter to some social media. But I do update my website. And if I don't update it, some loving person in my family will do it for me. So I can be found at www.emilianielsen.com.
Perfect. Very simple. But I can recommend Twitter as sort of the poetry of social media.
I hear.
It's very playful.
But do people play nice?
Yeah, that's the one. People don't play nice on there.
I love the brevity of the certain characters, and I'm not a fan of the thuggery that seems to happen at times.
It's not the safest form of media. But thank you so much for joining me today and having this conversation. It's been wonderful listening to you read your poetry and hear your thoughts on poetry. And for everyone else who's listening right now, I'm just going to repeat that the Edmonton Poetry Festival will be happening April 22nd to the 29th. And you can find more about the festival at edmontonpoetryfestival.com. And we're not afraid of any social media or we're one of the bullies online. And you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all Edmonton Poetry Festival.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.